vineyard will be destroyed. And this stands as a warning to God's people. And so, when Jesus makes this claim about himself in John 15, it's even more profound and significant when we understand the Old Testament background of what God wanted from his people. What does Jesus say? It's interesting, he doesn't just say, I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine. Jesus is the true humanity that the rest of us could never live up to. Living in constant connection with God, his Father, and obedience to his word, and bearing fruit in good works, and bearing the message of God to the world. Jesus is the true vine. He's claiming to represent God and bear fruit to the world. And his Father, God the Father, is the gardener who tends the vineyard. As we read in verse 2, we might easily become anxious. God the Father, as the gardener, will cut off every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Will that make us anxious? Will that make us panic? How do we ensure we're sufficiently fruitful that we won't be cut off? How can we make sure God doesn't cut us off from Jesus because of our fruitlessness? We might be stressed and uncertain about where we stand before God. We'd better do more good works. We'd better serve in church. We'd better share Jesus with others in the hope of bearing enough fruit to make the cut and not be discarded. But as we unpack this passage and read it a bit more carefully, it highlights two big secrets to being a fruitful Christian. And neither of them are to do with our efforts or productivity or anxiety to do or be or achieve ourselves. The first secret is the key word for this whole section, repeated 11 times. Can you guess what it is? Oh, that's a good word, but it's not the one I'm thinking of. There's another one as well as love. But love certainly comes up a lot. The first word that I was thinking of was remain. Because Jesus says at least 11 times in the first 11 verses of this chapter, remain in me. That's the key. And you know that when you cut flowers off from the vine or the plant and put them in a vase, they might survive a little while, but ultimately you've killed them. You've cut them off from their source of life, and that's it. So with the branches of a vine, I have an invasive, what are those vines that kind of look like chocos grow on them, but they're not really? What are they? Those horrible things are invading our hedge and my veggie patch and everything. What are they?
Moth vine.
Moth vine. Terrible stuff. And it grows and grows and grows. But the key is for me just to get down the bottom and just cut it off at the base and then put some poison on it. Are you allowed to do that? That's what I do. And then the whole thing will die away because it's not connected to the vine. It's not connected to the source. Our primary job as Christians is not to strive, to achieve, to work hard. It's not to do anything. Our primary job as Christians is to remain in Jesus. And if we remain in him, then his energy, his life, his giving to us will grow us and make us healthy and strong as believers and bear much fruit. And I hope that that is much relief to your anxiety about whether you are a fruit-bearing Christian, because it's easy for us to get anxious about whether we're good enough for God or whether we make the grade, but that's not a question we need to ask. We simply need to trust and remain in Jesus, and we are assured of our salvation and belonging to him because of what he has done for us in his death and resurrection in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. We belong to him. We remain in him and he remains in us. And I think that's a beautiful part of this passage as well, isn't it? It's not just our remaining in him, but he will take hold and hold on to us. And as he spoke in previous passage and will again in chapter 16, he has given us, will give us his spirit that will strengthen and uphold us in our faith and strengthen us to remain in him. What does it mean to remain in Jesus? There are two primary images as we work through this passage that help us understand it. And the first comes in verse 4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We are not independent. As we'll see in James's baptism later this morning, becoming a Christian involves turning away from our sin to put our trust in Jesus. It's not something we do. It's in fact admitting that we have done the wrong thing. And as we put our trust in Jesus, we trust in what he has done for us. As we go on in the Christian life, nothing changes. We don't bear fruit on our own. We don't achieve glory for ourselves or for God on our own. Our good works don't impress God one bit. I love this idea of remaining in Jesus because it takes the pressure off. My job is to remain connected to Jesus. And it's his life and his word and his love that will produce fruit in my life. So if you have a look at verse 7, you can see a bit more of a clarification of what it means to remain in Jesus. It means to allow his words to remain in us. Now, Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples, who will become the 11 apostles here in John 14. And so his words remain in them, and they then preach it and proclaim it, and eventually it comes to us in the form of the New Testament, doesn't it? But we in turn are to remain in Jesus and have his word remain in us by dwelling in his word, by reading it regularly, by reflecting on it, by trusting it, by obeying it. That's how we remain in Jesus, by remaining in his word. In verses 9 and 10, we see also that to remain in Jesus is to remain in his love, that other key word that Gillian rightly noticed in this passage. To remain in his love and to keep his commands, which are two very strongly connected ideas in John's gospel. What does it mean to love Jesus? It's to obey him. What does it mean to obey Jesus? It's to love him. That's not true of every loving relationship. I love my children by not doing what they tell me to do. Right? That would not be loving, to just do whatever my children told me to do. But with God, he is the all-knowing creator of the universe. He is sovereign, in control of all things, knows all things, and he loves me. So to love God is to obey him. To obey God is to love him. With God, those two things are directly connected. And so to remain in Jesus means to remain in his word and to remain in his love by obeying his word. Now, those are the big things in this passage that we get as clues to understand what it means to remain in Jesus. So practically, to remain in Jesus means spending time reading his word and in prayer. It means giving thanks for his love and maintaining a close relationship with him all the time. But in our busy lives, it's very easy to be distracted, caught up with so many other things that we're not spending time with God. We're not spending time remaining in Jesus. I was listening to a preacher yesterday who made the point that Christians have often, and the Bible encourages us, to remember the Lord when we wake in the morning and spend time giving thanks to him and in prayer and in his word. To remember him throughout the day as we shoot up an arrow prayer, as we meditate on God's word and what he has done for us. And to remember him in the evening before we go to bed at night, before we roll over to sleep. And he made the point that in our busy lives there's often something else that takes that part in our lives. That when we wake up in the morning, we glance at our phones. Throughout the day, we look at our phones, and in the evening, before we roll over to sleep, we check our social media accounts to see what's happened. Can we be people who remain in Jesus by using our every waking day to give thanks to him, to live in his presence, to wake up in the morning and open his word, to remain in him? Imagine if we put those phones aside and spent that time remaining in Jesus, turning to him in prayer, meditating on his word and giving thanks for his love. The most important thing for a healthy branch is to remain connected to the vine. And we are the branches. The most important thing for us to remain healthy is to remain connected to Jesus. What are the things that threaten to disconnect us? Well, it's the distractions and other gods and things we might pursue aside from Jesus. Perhaps initially it means we're not able to meet with his people regularly, because we're busy with sport, and that takes a priority. And over time, slowly that means we're not reminded to be remaining and connected with Jesus by others, and so we drift further away from him. We need to continue to gather together. We need to continue to maintain a habit of Bible reading and prayer to keep us remaining in Jesus. But the other thing that can challenge us from remaining in Jesus is when difficult things happen in our life, and we feel frustrated at God and wonder where he was, wonder why he has allowed life to take the turn that it has when it is full of suffering or hardship or difficulty. But interestingly, one of the second ways that we can be fruitful Christians is very closely related to that. That is the pruning of our Father, the gardener. Now, this is a confronting reality for us to recognise. But our first way to be a successful and fruitful Christian is to remain in Jesus, and that is key. The second is for God the Father, the gardener, to prune us that we might be more fruitful. Because as you look there in verse 2, not only does God the Father, the gardener, cut off every branch that bears no fruit. Someone that's not remaining in Jesus will be cut off and cast away. But the other branches that do bear fruit, he prunes so that they will be even more fruitful. What is that pruning in our lives? It's perhaps moments of suffering or challenge that help us to realise our need for Jesus and rely on him more. It's perhaps God taking away things that are precious to us in our lives at great difficulty and hardship. And those hardships and difficulties help us to recognise what matters in life, to remain in Jesus, to continue to trust in him and take hold of the eternal life that is ours and that can never be taken away. Jesus goes on in verse 9 and following to spell out what love for one another looks like as fruit-bearing disciples of Jesus by speaking of his own coming death in the wonderful words of verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, Jesus' love and commitment to us is ultimately demonstrated by his sacrificial death on the cross for forgiveness of sins. There is no greater love than this. And as we remain in his love, it fills us up and overflows into love for others. In giving praise and glory to Jesus and speaking about him to others. Most of John's gospel has been about the Father sending Jesus into the world, but here in John 14 and 13 through to 16, Jesus is sending his disciples and ultimately in turn sending us, but not sending us as slaves but as friends, as he speaks about, as giving us and helping us to know the plan to take the gospel to the world, to bear fruit of not just good works, but the gospel message going out around the world so that more and more people might come to know Jesus and be grafted into the vine to belong to him. Now, you'd think that if we're living lives of love and connection to God, that the world might applaud us. But Jesus is a realist. He warns in verse 18, initially a warning to the disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. We've seen this division throughout John, particularly chapters 7 and 8. Jesus' exclusive claims cause a ruckus. When we stand for the truth of the gospel, we shouldn't be surprised when we face opposition. If the world persecuted Jesus, the vine, they will certainly the branches. But we ought not be silenced by opposition to the gospel and the prevailing culture of our day. The world's hatred is actually a confirmation of belonging to Jesus. They hate the light because it exposes the darkness. But even in the face of this opposition, what's our job? To remain connected to Jesus, knowing that God is in complete control and the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. So when we're feeling weary or lacking energy, when we're feeling frustrated at our lives not being perhaps what we hoped or productive or fruit-bearing, don't panic or worry, relax, and remain connected to Jesus. He is our source of life and strength, and while we're connected to him, then by his word and his spirit remaining in us, he will be at work in us to grow and mature and strengthen us to live for him and bear much fruit for him as we witness to the gospel and live lives of love towards one another, so that the world knows that we are his disciples. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you so much that what you ask of us as Christians is within our ability. You ask us not to achieve or perform or be productive in good works. You ask us simply to remain in you. And we thank you that you are our life-giving Lord who sustains us by your word and spirit at work in our lives. And so we pray, Lord, remain in us as we remain in you. And therefore, as a branch connected to the vine, we pray that you would strengthen and grow and mature us. We pray that when hard times come, when you prune us, you would help us to continue to trust you and not turn away from you. Be at work in us, Lord, for your glory, that through your work in us, people might know that we are your disciples. People might come to know your love, and they too might seek to be connected to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.